Hi there, this is Rocky, and it's been my pleasure to host a Server's Journey podcast over the past 3 years. Recently, Larry and I have taken a short hiatus to reimagine what the future holds for this podcast. So we ask that you join us in the fall as we start a new season with fresh content. In the meantime, we reviewed some of the past episodes, and we found a few that we think you might be needing to hear. As always, we thank you for listening so regularly, and we need you now more than ever. So we ask that you please reach out on our social media, let us know the things you want us to talk about, and as always, like us, subscribe, leave us reviews, and share with your friends. So Larry, crank up this episode and let us know how it affected your journey of serving.
Welcome to this edition of A Server's Journey with Rocky DeStefano. The foundation of the program is that everyone is leading something or someone, thus we call the program A Server's Journey. And this is a very special edition of A Server's Journey because recently Rocky and several other Chick-fil-A operators from around the country traveled halfway around the world to Kenya to participate in helping to share their leadership skills with a mission organization called 410 Bridge. And the organization is out of Atlanta, Georgia.
Yeah, and let me tell you what, it was an amazing trip, something that I'll definitely look back, and I feel like I learned quite a lot, Larry. 410 Bridge is an amazing organization, and you're going to hear from the founder and one of the top directors in a future podcast, but their mission statement is that they pursue healthy community development in nations that are confined by poverty. So they work in any nation that you can imagine that struggles. Maybe they're a third world country, or they're struggling to get out of that. Maybe they're in a highly developing area, but still have quite a lot of poverty.
So you had an opportunity to talk to a couple of the people that were participating in this in Kenya.
Yeah, you know, this trip was unlike any I've ever done in that we got to do a great variety of things. We built restrooms for a school in the community. We got to interact with hundreds and hundreds of kids, which was fantastic, just to understand that there's a lot of things that differentiate us, and yet there's a lot of things that make us similar, which
now,
was fantastic.
How long did it take you to get there?
Yeah.
Was that a surprise?
Yes, it was very far away. And, you know, you look at it on the map and understand it's far, and then you take an 18-hour of flight, and you realize how truly, truly far away it is.
Okay, now, were you sitting in those big first class, in the business
the
section?
Pilot. Yeah, I was next.
No. The pilot asked you to come up and help?
No, you know, I'm not a small man, and I felt even much larger being confined in the back seats.
You were in the back?
Yeah, it was very, very...
You know, I sat in the back of a 747? No, the Boeing, the biggest of the biggest. What, was that a 747?
It used to be. I think now there's 767.
Yeah, but whatever that one was. And I mean, I was on the back seat.
Right.
And when that sucker took off, I felt like my bottom was scraping the...
Yes. Well, anyways, but... You know, it really, truly was, other than the flight over there, it was a truly great trip. And the highlight of it was that we got a chance to, 410 Bridge does business startup tactic classes, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. where they help local people in different communities with microloans to start businesses. And we got a chance to work one-on-one with several businesses. And we had a chance to interact with over 80 people that had started small businesses.
Fantastic. We're going to hear from those in just a couple of minutes.
Absolutely.
But first, I want to mention something.
Okay.
I want to mention our new and improved website.
Yes, it's fantastic.
You can take advantage of it now. We've been talking about it for weeks, but now it's there.
That's right.
And it's A Server's Journey.
.com, of course.
Oh, of course.
You should know that, but... New logo, really great flow to it, first-class site.
If you've missed any of the interviews, you can find them all right there on the website.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Rocky's stories are there as well. So I want you to keep checking back to the site to see how it's growing,
right.
And we're going to inform you about some other great advantages that will be coming along on the website, A Server's Journey. And speaking of the website, I know that we've partnered with ACS Creative in developing the website. And when it comes to creating a website, it pays to go to the pros. And that's why we've gone to ACS Creative.
Yeah, Larry, they do everything. Brochures, logos, direct mail, ad campaigns, and websites. So if you're looking for a company to help build the backside of your podcast, they understand the business of podcasting, and they don't want to do your podcast.
They don't want to be in the podcasting business.
No, they absolutely want to help. They want to help you get more responses out of your podcast. Again, they are first class, and again, their name is ACS Creative.
And they don't play games with your money.
Absolutely.
I love that line.
Yeah.
So you can contact them, ACS Creative, on the internet. Now, let's see. How would you spell that? ACScreative.com. That's it. That's all there is to it. So you had a chance to talk to a couple of guys in Kenya who are a part of the 410 program.
Yeah, and you'll get a chance to hear from both of them. The first interview that you'll get a chance to hear, and hopefully we'll be able to put up on our website soon, the video actually of it, was a gentleman named Dominic who had a catastrophic injury. At one point was contemplating, more than contemplating, was actively trying to commit suicide. But 410 Bridge stepped in. He went to Business Startup Tactics School and started his own small business. And his story is breathtaking. One of my favorite stories, and you'll get a chance to meet with Dominic.
Okay, I'm Dominic Kingley.
And how old are you?
30 years.
30 years old?
30 years old.
So tell us what happened 3 years ago.
Back in 2015, I was a driver, a long-distance driver. So June 2015, I had an accident, a terrible one, that left me on a wheelchair for a year and a half.
A year and a half?
For a year and a half. So I got broke my hand, my legs were broken, and my jaws. I was admitted to a hospital. I had a family, a wife and a kid. So my wife became so desperate, she even poisoned me when I was 10 in a ward hospital. But then she ran away with everything.
She took everything
she
you had?
She took everything away out of me.
So
I was left desperate, had no hope. God, lost a wife, I lost a job.
Fascist.
Here I am, can't walk, can't do nothing. But lucky enough, I had good parents who took good care of me. Then came the year 2017, 2018, when the 14 bridges came to my area and gave me the rec. They came to my area and they had a business startup class.
So make an introduce
Mr.
yourself.
He was my teacher.
I am Mr. Mika Mwati, the BST trainer with the 410 Bridge International.
So I took it with serious note. I went to the class. I ran a lot in life because I had no hope. I did get a hope. I had no vision, but now I have a vision through the class. I didn't know what to do with my life, but now I do a lot in my life. I came back home with the knowledge I had from the class, used it to help my parents, to pay for their farm, and how to set up their cost, how to make them mad, and how to break the even of what they're doing. And that has really helped much home.
Do you
to my parents?
And do you feel hope?
I feel hope. Not even hope, but a big hope for my life and for my future children. And I feel it. And I want to thank you very much. Because what's up for that class? I was still remain hopeless.
So now you said that when he was in class, what did you notice about him?
So when Dominic came first to the BST class, I noticed that he was desperate and he was trying to find hope. He shared a story with me that he was in a verge of death. He didn't have desire to live anymore. And we kept cultivating hope in him and instilling joy in him and trying to help him understand that there's still good things ahead of him. And the verse that was leading us was Jeremiah 29:11, that God has good plan for everyone, and he wants to give everyone a future, a hope, an expected end. And from that verse, and when we went through that verse, Dominique became hopeful of life, and he again was revitalized, and he the joy, you know, started flowing out of him, and he began to see life in a different view. Here he is. He has done so much with a parent's farm, and we can't even imagine what is happening here. All that you will see on the photos, there are things that have been achieved as a result of the hope that was cultivated in Dominique's life. So we are so much grateful to see that with what we do, we are able to reach out to so many youths and so many desperate people who have lost hope and rebuild their life again in Jesus, and they will be able to be fruitful and helpful and resourceful in their communities.
So now real quickly, Dominique runs a sustainable farm. Tell us the number of crops. What do you grow here?
Yeah, we do mixed cropping. We grow cabbages, we grow carrots, potatoes, we grow maize, and we grow the grass to feed the animals.
Yes.
Yeah.
And papayas?
We have some fruits.
Pears?
We got pears, we got palms, we got papaya, we got tomato, we got passion fruit.
Right.
And we got some all kind of fruits that grows on this area that going to fit on weather conditions.
As well as dairy?
We got dairy farming.
Cows.
We got chickens. We got some goats. Feed on. We are sustainable as a family through what we have. We always improve what we have better than it was yesterday.
Amen.
Yeah. We thank God for Dominique's life and what God is doing through the training that came as a result of your generosity. And we thank God that he's now got life, and he's going to spread the same to his fellow youths and other people who are hopeless and who knows his story. This is a big story, and we know that God is using this story to touch others.
That was Dominique.
Yeah, and Dominique, again, just truly inspiring story.
Now, and his teacher is Mika, right?
That's right, yeah. And we spent, Mika is one of the top directors with 410 Bridge on the ground in Kenya. He's really out of Nairobi. And we spent a lot of time traveling on a bus from Nairobi to Dominique's community, which is Kuhiria. And you're going to get a chance to hear from Mika, and he'll kind of give some breath to the whole business startup idea.
So come ride the bus.
That's
with
right.
Rocky in Kenya.
A little bit of background noise. You're going to hear some beeping maybe. We definitely saw some zebras on the side of the road, but I don't think you'll hear them.
All right, I want to welcome today Mika Miyata.
Mwati.
Mika Miyata. And he is with 410 Bridge, and we're going to have him share a little bit about the organization, a little bit about himself, and what he does with 410. Welcome aboard.
Oh, thank you so much for giving me this opportunity. As he said, my name is Mika Mwati, and I work with the 410 Bridge International here in Kenya. Basically, what we do is to reach out to our communities with the love of Christ through five pillars. We go to particular communities that are poor and privileged, that are not able to take care of themselves, and once we establish the partnership, now we start working from bottom up with them, try to help them understand the resources that are within the communities, the potential they have and that are not utilized. And our work basically is to work alongside the members of our community, and we help untap those potentials in them, and they are able to use that, their skills. As our tagline is from 1 Peter 4:10, that says each and everyone should use his gift to minister the grace to others. And that's what we normally do. All our five pillars, economic, education, water, health, and spiritual, are connected. And we do that holistically. We want to empower people to realize the resources they have and utilize them, do some small enterprises to make some livelihood for them. And we want to make sure that their health is complete so that they are able to work without any hindrance. And we want to make sure that their system of education is enhanced in such a way that the primary school children have zero dropout. So we do quality improvement programs like textbook. Well, the ratio is normally is 1:30, but we want to reduce that to 1:3. We want to make sure that the environment they are learning is better, improving the classroom standards, additional teachers, feeding program, and also participate in their in their welfare. We want to see that they have water, clean and safe water. And we also want to know that their spiritual in the journey is taken care of. We want to, everything is intertwined, that by the end of the day, the church becomes hero. So all this we are doing just to empower these members of community that they can realize that God has given them so much that by the end of the day, they, when they are well fed, their needs are met, they resort to thanksgiving to God.
So let me start by saying, and I should have probably said this in the beginning, that we are in Kenya, and we served, well, 410 serves with many, many communities. This past week, we had the privilege of serving with Kahuria, which is a small community of about 3,500 people. Mika, if you could tell us a little bit about your background. Where did you grow up? Where did you go to school, maybe? And how did you come to be associated with 410?
Oh, thank you so much. I grew up in a very humble village west of Kenya, a very small village, and I grew among eight siblings. My father was a peasant farmer, and growing in a humble way and knowing what luck means. When I went to school, I specialized on how I could take care of my community. So I went and did what we call organic farming. Basically, I wanted people to realize food security. And alongside that, I noticed that if you don't have some enterprising skills, then you are doomed. You'll just do general farming without having priorities or a strategic plan.
So now, and that's a big issue in this community, because so many people, they live hand to mouth. They make, they grow enough just to survive, but they can never get ahead. And I know that's a big concern of yours.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, people live within less than a dollar. You know, what we do here is most members of community rely on farming, and the crops they farm are not even balanced diet. So they are eating one sort of food that is not even nourishing them, giving them the right nutrients, and there are no jobs. And since our country is not like so much developed, so the government is not able to take care of its citizens. So these people, they have to work out their way. And because in the rural area, there are no facility that can enable them, you know, process their foods and sell them, or produce and sell them. So they live in an environment where that whatever they farm, they consume them locally. Right. And that doesn't give them room to just get the foodstuff that we buy on stores. So they will be depending on whatever is coming from the garden, and that's it. So nutrition wise, their health deteriorates, and then when they are ill, they cannot be able to have any money to take care of their health. Right. They can't be able to take themselves to a doctor to see a doctor, and that makes them less productive each and every day. They are not able economically to take their children to school and be able to buy necessities, the things that they require, like textbook, or even help to build their school, their own community schools. Though this has left their community in an impoverished condition where the community is becoming worse and worse. And we are producing young men who are not enterprising, who are not artistic, who are not, they do not have a career that is a specific career that they can use to generate income. So the community become less productive and less industrial. And that has left the community poor and poor.
Yeah, which is amazing, and everything he's saying is exactly what we witnessed here this past week. But I did interrupt you, and you were talking about how you began to specialize somewhat around the aspects of farming and making farming better, more nutritious. So what university did you go to?
After high school, I went to a college, a community college called Manhouse Agricultural Center. And basically, I was going to do what we call organic farming. I wanted to specialize on foods, local food, our own traditional foods that can make a complete diet so that I can train our communities on how to farm a complete diet, to have like a kitchen garden that supplies everything nutrition-wise that can be able to make their health better. After that, I joined a university called St. Paul's University, and I did my college degree on business entrepreneurship, and that's where my skill built, and I was able to learn more on how you can translate farming into agribusiness. And I started engaging my community members to how they can grow their own foods and grow surplus to sell to their neighbors to earn an income so that they could have enough to take their children to school, give them the basics, and then like uniforms, textbooks and all that, and also be able to take care of their own health, like they could have money to go to visit a doctor when they were ill. In Africa, or specifically in Kenya, HIV has been rampant, malaria has been rampant, and other nutritional-related diseases. And this is due because we are not able to prevent diseases before they come, because we are not able to do that. So if you empower this particular person in that community, is able to take care of his health before it deteriorates. And that way, we are able to build a healthier community that's able to take care of its need.
So far, this is an amazing story, and we've gotten you through university and college and then a second degree. So now talk about your family. Are you married? Do you have children?
Yeah, that's a very important question. I am married to be able to be effective in the ministry, because I was called to serve. What I do, it's not even a job. It's service to my God and my community. I have to have a stable family. So I'm married to one wife, and I have two boys. And we are all happy supporting each other. My wife supports me on what I do. She's back at home taking care of my boys and praying for me to be strong in my ministry.
And your wife is also a teacher, is that correct?
My wife also does the same thing I do, but in a different level. She trains adult learning, and she teaches them how to, you know, to learn how to read and write so that they can be able to understand what the outside world is all about.
And I understand that you not only serve with 410 Bridge, but you also have several businesses of your own operating. So what I like about that is the teacher is able to teach from knowledge. You've been through it, you know how to market. Talk about the businesses that you have that you also help run.
Very important question. I can never train what I don't practice. So it's one way to talk about something, it's another thing to model practically. So I have three businesses. I sell secondhand clothes together with those are my family business. And I also sell electronics, and I also supply solar lights. So these are some of the things that I do so that I make myself better, because I'm a part of the community and also take care of my family. And that way, other people are able to see the teacher is modeling what he's teaching.
So now, and the reason why I bring this up is, as we mentioned, 410, they have a very holistic view. They attack the issues in Kenya from several angles. There's the spiritual aspect, there's education, there's health, and then there's this whole feeling of business. And so talk to me about the BTS, which is a BST, I apologize. And this is a very, very important. In fact, during our visit here, it's been probably the most amazing thing that we've witnessed. And I'm going to have you talk a little bit about what it is, how many people that you've had go through the program, and then we'll talk about some of the success stories.
Wow, that's an amazing thing. When I'm asked that question, I have goosebumps. Because that I love doing that. I'm so passionate about it. It makes me strong when I talk about it. What I'm involved in with the Fortin Bridge ministry is called business startup training. And because I have a background from school in business entrepreneurship, it's so important to equip our communities with enterprising skills, because we've realized as Fortin Bridge, many of our community have they are very resourceful. There are so many resources that are so useful that it can really bring the communities out of poverty and put them somewhere up there. And we realize that the only way we can do that is train individuals within this community that can actually spearhead the work of building this community. In every community, we believe that if we train, we make or we produce 30% of that entire community to be enterprising, then they will employ others within that, the 70% remaining, and they'll be able to develop that community and grow. So we, business startup training, it's a four-week course training that take individual members of the community through an entire thorough business startup training curriculum that is actually tailor-made to make sure that it captures every aspect, every angle of business. We'll put them in class. Normally, a class is composed of 25, and it takes 3 days in a week, because we want to have gaps so that they can practice. One day in class, the other day in the field, practicing what they have learned in class. So because we have limited resources to do that, we want to capture a bigger picture. So we normally have 50 people coming to a training in a month. So they alternate back to back.
Right.
25, 3 days in a week, and 25 the other remaining 3 days. Start with the alternating. Like when one group is in class, the other one is in field doing their research. And this this training will take the learners through various aspects of business, such as trying identifying various opportunities that are in that community, and will help them make use of those opportunities, tap those from those, realize the gaps from the, within the community, so that they can able to take advantage of that and become enterprising. In that way, by the end of the training, every learner in the midst of the training, they will come up with an activity, a business activity that they have seen, a gap, a need in a community that they have seen, and they will start working around trading around that, or doing a service, or making something, manufacturing from that opportunity they have found. And by the end of the training, they would have perfected that skill, and 3 months after the training, we'll begin a process of mentorship, where we go alongside, we come alongside, coaching and mentoring them on the skill they got, and from the business they started, we want to measure whether they are growing or stagnant, or something is happening, they are going through a challenge, and we'll help them, you know, become better. And that has proved to work.
So this is what I found amazing about the BST, and that's, again, business startup tactics. So You've had over 75 people in this one village go through this already. And again, as he said, it's a four-week course. 3 days on, they're in class. And the other 3 days, they're practicing what they learned in class. And we were amazed. We got a chance to speak with a group of the graduates. And then we also got a chance to spend some real time with individuals. And so some of the stories that I found amazing is the one that touched me, there were several that touched me, but first was Samuel, who was basically a beggar, basically lived hand to mouth and lived as a piranha off the community, and now who operates his own business, who is a sheep farmer, and who is able to not only provide for his family, but to now save money and to be an example to the community of what is possible if you put practices to work. We also met a husband and wife, Mary and her husband, and I forget her husband's name, Jurup. And they, with 5 shillings, started a convenience store. It's something that they call a hotel here. And we spent about 2.5 hours with them. And we came with all this business knowledge from America. And what we found was they were doing everything that we would have suggested. They had already started a delivery business. They had already begun to make plans. They bought a vehicle in order to transport and to pick up. It was an amazing operation to see, and these two started it on 5 shillings. One of the most touching was Dominic, and Dominic had been in a horrific car accident 2 years ago. He was in ICU. They thought he might die. He severely damaged his jaws, his legs, and several other parts of his body. To make matters worse, during the middle of his time in ICU, his wife picked up, stole everything he had, including his son, and left him. And so he became so distraught, so depressed, that he envisioned suicide. Even to the point of his parents, when they left him, would bind him, would tie him up so that he would not be able to hurt himself. But by God's grace, he was able to come to Micah's BST, and it's amazing to see what Dominic is now producing so many crops. He took every tactic that Micah was able to teach about rotation of crop, placement of crops, and he grows just such a wide variety of fruits and vegetables, and every square inch of his farm is used to the fullest, even to the point of he planted trees in order to control runoff into the river, but even those limbs have a use in his operation. In addition, he has sheep, he has chickens, and he has cows. He has 5 cows, 4 of which are pregnant and are ready to give birth, and so he's right now producing over 10 liters of milk per day. To see his eyes light up, and you're going to hear more from Dominic and from Micah during an interview that we did with them, he's a different man today because of what he learned with Micah. So Micah, talk about the feelings you must feel when you see your students do so well.
Oh, a great feeling. I can't even explain the feeling. It's a super feeling. I'm so sometimes emotional when I see people come very humbly in class, and when we go through the training, I could see how they express their fear in life, their desperation, and you know, loss of hope. And after the training, when we do the follow-up, the joy, the hope, you know, the smile, you know, they are people like who have just revamped back into life. And it's like, it's a feeling that I can't even comprehend with, because it's a great feeling. And that's what we are called to do. This is all God wants of us. We are touch to touch. We are called to serve. So this is something that I would want and I would wish every member of any community in Kenya and in Africa to go through. A feeling of hope, coming back you know, and it's a joy not only to us as an organization, it's also a joy to every member of the community who sees that, and that results to thanksgiving to God.
Yeah, it's truly amazing, and you can hear the excitement in his voice. I think any teacher would feel this way. But it was just the sheer number. As I mentioned, we got to speak to a group of probably 30 to 35, and the diversity of their jobs was amazing. Everything from a gentleman who started a cinema so people could watch movies and watch World Cup soccer, every different types of farming. It was truly amazing to see the number of success stories. One gentleman, Bonifest, actually bought a grinder and is able to mill the corn and the other crops that are grown from all around his community. And something that Mika mentioned was that they taught them to look at the community and find the gaps in what wasn't being done. And this gentleman was able to see that the next nearest mill, next nearest grinder was over 2 kilometers away. And so he made it, and he is doing so well that at some point he's probably going to have to buy a second grinder, second miller. So it's a truly great story, and something that we were amazed to see in Kenya. And this is not the first community that they've worked with. Mika, talk about how many communities you've worked with, and I know you're about to start with a new community here soon.
We are currently in about 24 communities in Kenya, and I have only managed to go to 7 of those communities, only 7. So there are so much to be done. And even in the community I've worked in, I've only managed to go like 10%. And to realize our goal and our objective in the business startup training, we have to reach out at least 30% of that entire community. There's a lot of work to be done, and we feel that, you know, everybody needs to come together. Everybody needs to hold our hands so that we can be able to accomplish this task.
Yeah, one thing about 410 that you hear is their big belief is that they don't support a community endlessly. They join the community, they partner with them, they train them, they help them in all these 5 different pillars, and then eventually the community graduates and is able to actually become self-sufficient, so that 410 Bridge is able to move on to another community and do the same impactful stuff. In fact, just recently they had a community that approached them and said, "Thank you for your help. We are sufficient now. Please use your money and your time elsewhere." And what a wonderful thing that does. One of my favorite verses is, without a vision, the people perish. And I think what 410 does is provide that vision, provide that hope for the future. So, Mika, one question I had for you is, talk about, if somebody wanted to support 410, how are they able to support, and maybe if there's a website where they can go and they can actually make contributions or donations?
Yeah, that's a very good, important input. We are open because the work at hand is huge, and the amount of effort that have to come through is huge. So that's why we want every person, whoever, you know, is willing to come and partner with us, because we need everybody on board. Everybody is called to serve, and if all our retro efforts can be combined, we can be able to empower and to help these people have a path and stand on their own and walk. So we have a website. You can connect us www.410bridge.org. Or you can contact our office in Atlanta, Georgia. It's when you go to our website, you'll be able to find where our offices are, and there are people you connect with who will explain even further on what we do and our involvement. So the website is www.410bridge.org.
So again, that's www.410bridge.org. 410bridge.org. And you can also check 410. They have their national offices in Atlanta, Georgia. There is many ways that you can support them. You can sponsor a child. You can send a direct donation. And if your church or your organization would like to arrange to actually come and work with 410 in one of the villages to get a firsthand look, you can find all that information on the website. I can tell you that I traveled with a group of seven men from America, from almost every state. We were from Kansas and Ohio and Atlanta, Georgia and Florida, and we were truly amazed at what we saw in these villages, the impact that 410 is having, not only on the adults, but on the kids, on their spiritual well-being, their health, their education, and their hope. The biggest thing that 410 plants is hope. It's a truly wonderful organization, and we really enjoyed our time in Coheria this week, really getting a chance to meet and spend time with the community. So I want to thank Mika for coming on the show. Mika, you've been wonderful.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me in the show.
I need to express again that I mentioned this to you already, is that the sacrifice that you do every day, the sacrifice you get up, and some days, some months he's in the communities more than he's with his family. He sacrifices. When he's training these people for 4 weeks, he very rarely gets to see his wife and his kids. The sacrifice he makes is done because he loves Jesus and because he loves Kenya and because he knows that the difference is the gospel of Christ. So I want to thank you again, Mika.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I'm also grateful for also you availing your time and coming to be with us. We can't express the joy, and we feel that God, Almighty God, will truly replace the effort and the strength you have used to come and visit us. Thank you. God bless you.
So as always, we talk about servant leadership, and I don't think I've ever witnessed greater servant leadership than what I saw this past week with 410 Bridge and with Mika and all the people associated with it. So thank you very much.
Wow, what a bus ride you had in Kenya.
It was great, yeah. And I can tell you that this show's all about servant leadership. We talk about it nonstop. And I can tell you that it was great to actually see talk become action. Mika is truly an inspiring person who is putting his feet on the ground and really impacting people in Kenya.
Fantastic. Good to hear. I'm glad you're back.
I'm glad. I'm actually glad to be back too.
You know, and we've got more coming up in the weeks to come, but it's just good to hear that you've got out there and you're a servant leader, sir.
Well,
you definitely are.
I didn't feel like one when I was digging the trenches for the restroom. I felt like I was an out of shape American, but thank you.
Well, thank you very much. And a personal note, you know, thank you for helping me the other day. I have a very hard time asking for help, and you helped me, and I really appreciated that.
It was my pleasure.
Well, thanks for linking up with us here on A Server's Journey. Remember to subscribe to the podcast, as we all want to be good leaders, learning to lead by serving. And if you like what you hear here, tell a friend, like us, and share us A Server's Journey with all of your friends. And again, I would suggest if you need help with your website, do what we did. Contact ACS Creative. They don't play games with your money.
Yeah, I like that one. We like that statement. Well, Larry, as always, you're my Elmer Fudd to Bugs Bunny. And I want to thank you for being my cohort and co-conspirator here on A Server's Journey. You know, as always, I want to remind you that we're on this journey, all of us. And it's really about how we serve while we're in that role. And that's why every week we're going to keep sharing A Server's Journey. Thanks for joining us. And together we're going to learn to be better leaders.